Blog Talk Radio.
And I surrender all. I surrender all. All.
Welcome to Wednesday night on Dry Bones Connection. This is Antoinette, and tonight, I hope y'all can hear me, Tonight, the class is The Gift, the Faith of a Mustard Seed, and this is part two with Brother Eddie. Brother Eddie, you with me?
Yes, I am, Sister Antoinette. I am here. You're good. Loud and clear.
Good, thank you.
How are you doing, first of all? You sound good.
Thank you. I'm well, thank you.
Okay.
And how are
and
you?
I'm doing great. If we have any callers who have already called in or they're on the phone and they've raised their hands, you
bring
can start putting them in because I actually
okay.
called a couple of the family members. So,
okay, great. All right. I'm bringing in area code 347. 347, your line is open.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
How y'all doing? It's Thomas.
Right there.
Hello,
greetings,
Thomas.
Brother Thomas. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing well.
Great.
Good.
How's the family?
Oh, everybody's doing good. Kids at college. It's going pretty swell, man, except for my pocket.
Oh, man. Okay.
Everything's good, brother.
Yes, well, that's good. But hope Pops gets everything on the upswing.
No, I didn't say Pops. I said except for my pocket, brother.
Oh, your
not
pocket.
Pop,
oh, his pocket.
Yeah.
I thought you said Pops.
Everything.
Yeah,
no,
I thought
no,
you said pocket, but okay,
on,
yeah, I heard that pocket, man, with those children being in college. Oh, yeah. Oh, man. You know. So
yes,
I feel,
sir.
Feel you.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so did you happen to hear the class we had last week?
I caught the tail end of it. I believe
okay.
when I called in, Kwame was talking.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it was Kwame talking.
Okay, so I'll probably give a brief synopsis
mm-hmm.
of our last week's show, and because what I didn't do last week were bring in the numbers that connect everything to the gift and even within the story behind the gift. And
okay.
two, as we go through everything, we're going to get into the key words that activate that consciousness that we're talking about so that we can truly start having conscious conversations on that at least fourth dimensional plane, which takes us to that spiritual realm we've been talking about before we get to the fifth dimension. So we'll be tag teaming and dealing with that. So first and foremost, before I even get started, let me acknowledge the ancestors with Ashe, the elders with Namaste, and the family, friends, and listening audience with honor, love, and respect, and most of all, your time and space for this portion of your life that you're sharing with us. So wanted to say that, and this show, this class tonight, family, is dedicated to Sister Antoinette to be the MVP, the MVP of tonight's class. And the acronym for MVP for us is meditation, visualization, and prayers. And the prayers and energy, which I'm let everybody know right now, is Sister Antoinette is back in the hospital. This is why I asked Brother Thomas and a couple of the family, you know, to join me at the beginning so she won't have to strain herself anything. As we hear, she's sounding good, doing good. She's in there for tests right now. So with that, we definitely want to send her those healing vibrations of energy through our meditation, visualization, and prayers.
Well, thank you very much.
Oh, you're quite welcome, my sister. More than welcome, and it's definitely needed in the environment that we're in right now. Dealing with all this nonsense. But we already know that story. We've been down that road.
Yeah.
So you can lay back and just let us know when other callers, other family members want to them in and bring them on
okay.
in.
Okay.
And,
I will do that.
And since you're going to be on somewhat silent mode, Brother Thomas, I'll start with you. If they're in New York or anywhere, that do you have any current events that you want to relate to the family?
No, sir.
Okay.
I do have one. Well, I have a couple that I did pull, but I do have one. Tiffany Haddish.
Okay.
You know, her and Aries Fields, is that his name, where they're charging that was a lawsuit against them for sexual exploitation against children, which I hope is not true.
Yeah. As we all do
well,
right here. Go ahead, Brother Thomas.
I saw that, and I saw the clip of the
Oh, I didn't see the clip or anything.
Yeah, it's an old clip. This is old. This isn't new. Like,
yeah,
well,
he said that this happened when the children were 14 and 7, and they're now 22 and 15.
Yeah, exactly. And the female was Tiffany Haddish's friend who let her borrow her kids to do some filming with the hopes that it would advance her career as a comedian, because she's a comedian as well as, you know, Tiffany Haddish. So she let them borrow the kids, and her career didn't end up taking off. So that's when she went at Tiffany Haddish with the lawsuit the first time, and the judge threw it out. So, and they told her she can't file any more lawsuits. So now the kids are older. They filed their own lawsuit. I think that they should be paid for trauma. But this is all in Aries Spears, who hasn't been in the news, I don't know, for years. He made a comment about Lizzo and her weight. He made a joke about her. And, of course, they call him a fat shamer. And all of a sudden, all the people that are managed by Lizzo started coming out talking bad about him. And then all of a sudden, these allegations pop up from 7-8 years ago. So this is all going at Aries Spears for what he said about Lizzo. They try to make an example out of it.
Okay. I, like I said, up until Sister Antoinette related that to me, as I said, I don't be on social media too much at all, you know. So all of this stuff is new to me, but it still doesn't matter to me at the end of the day, because it ain't going to change that conscious vibration of energy taking us to that fourth dimension. All of these things are the distractions we're talking about that keep us away from the conversation. The conversation activates what we should be talking about on that spiritual realm, but because of any of these stories that don't pertain to where we're trying to get to, at times we get caught up and we can't catch up because we constantly pushing whatever story. Like I said, this happened 7 years ago, and some bull now came up and put it back into the general public's eye once again, you know. So with that being said, thank you, Brother Thomas, for that extra info with that. And Sister Antoinette, was there anything you wanted to say before you presented the other current events you said you had? Hello?
I did pull up a couple banning books again, which they always do. So their book banning is a concerning trend in the Garden State, Golden State. So I think that's back in California. California's the Golden State, where they're talking about banning books again. So, you know, this reason why I stress getting books and holding on to your books. Don't let them keep having you do everything, you know, digitally. You know, have a book. And that's in Black Press USA, where they're talking about banning books again. That bill that I was talking about last week, Biden signed it into law. So this is a dangerous bill. I mean, because we think that we're being tracked now, but, you know, they're going to track us through everything that you spend, everything you do, everything is going to be tracked now. So this is truly a dangerous bill. And I have to find that number for you again, exactly what that bill was, number was.
What's the name of the bill?
Oh, we talked about it last week. I had pulled it up for y'all. And, of course, you know, I don't have everything together with me.
Yeah, remember, I didn't try and see where.
My daughter brought my briefcase. But she brought my bag, but she didn't bring my briefcase, so I don't have it down in here. But I will look. Give me a moment. But I know that bill is going to affect. Yes.
You just you go ahead and slow down because your voice is starting to give out. I'm hearing the change in the frequency in your voice now. So you look forward, take your time. When and if you find it, you can let us know, but you lay back in the cut.
Brother Eddie, do you ever catch the train in Chicago?
I haven't the train in about 30 years, man. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So when you caught the train last, how did you pay to enter the train station?
We were still paying with money, you know.
So you had
different ways where you could pay a monthly pass, a weekly pass, a daily pass, or just use cash.
Okay, so was it like a Metro card? Sort of thing, you swipe the card and it lets you go through the turnstile?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what we had. So what they're doing in New York is they're taking away the swipe. They're starting to take away the swipe machines for the cards. And they're limiting the amount of machines that issue the Metro card. So one day I go, and now ever since COVID, the people just sit up in the token clerk booths with no cash. They don't accept cash. They're just sitting there for 8 hours, pretty much. That's it. You know what I'm saying? Because they're not accepting cash anymore. So we're getting into the cashless society. So now I go over to the token clerk lady and say, you know, my card's not working. And I said, can I just purchase another card? And, oh, I don't do the cash. He said, just hold your credit card over the machine. It opened. So I went over and held my credit card over the machine, and it just unlocked it. It had the chip in my card. And then a few seconds later, I get a text message saying, hey, you just swiped your card, you know, to get on the Metro, you know, on the train. So I'm like, wow, check that out. So then I even went a step further, and I downloaded the wallet in my my phone. And now I just hold my phone over the train thing and it unlocks it so I can go onto the tracks. And on that same app, now that's how I pay for everything at the store. Like instead of, you know, using my debit card or using cash, I just hold my phone over the card, the thing I will stick my debit card in, and it just pays for the thing. So the cashless society, I was saying, like, they're going to remove cash, but you're not going to even feel the difference. You see what I'm saying? You're still going to do the same stuff you always did, just without the cash, you know? And this is just the introduction. And pretty soon they're going to take it away completely. But this is just the introduction. So I was kind of tripping because I'm like, man, every time I use my phone, they know where I'm going, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, I mean, I'm catching the train. I mean, they know I went to that station. And then if I get off the train and use my card at the store, then now they know, okay, well, he gets off at this stop, you know what I'm saying? So just tracking, all the time tracking, but using your own money to do it, you know? But it makes it easier, and, you know, especially with robberies and things like that, to just have it in your car, in your phone, you know what I'm saying, as opposed to carrying cash out. So it's just how they're doing the cashless society, slowly implementing it every day right in front of everyone. Everyone, all this time, I've been watching people hold their phones in the store and pay for stuff and over, and I just never did it. It's kind of like, wow, that's actually not that bad. I was fighting it, trying to be conscious. You know what I'm saying? I ain't doing that. They're going to track me, but it's like, shit, they're going to track me anyway. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, that was just, that enthused me to be able to use my phone to get on the train. You know what I'm saying? Like, man, that eliminated standing on a line to get a metro car, all that stuff. Just hold my phone in and go on the train. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, this is the new currency that is going to be used. I think if y'all can hear me. Let's see. Okay, this is the new currency that's going to be used. And I had the number up and then I let the tape go too far. But it's called, it's the Federal Reserve Board, the Central Bank Digital Currency. So it's the CBDC, but they're calling it Biden's Digital Currency. And let me try to get that number up again. I have to start that all over again. I'm sorry, Brother Eddie.
It ain't no problem. It ain't no problem. So, okay. Thanks for that. And again, once you find those. Brother Thomas, all I can say for that is great observation because, again, at the end, this is what we're going to be talking about, dealing with the activation of basically recognizing these things that are happening, you know. And as you said, being conscious, you know, to that level, but conscious on the physical, the physical and the material, the spiritual is, again, part of that awakening of recognizing that this is where we're going, you know. Yeah, we can fight it, but the key is that we have to eventually flow with it. Because, again, in order for us to get whatever, to pay for whatever, we know we're going, what, digital. Everything, we've been talking about it for how long? We've been talking about the digital age, and we're here now.
For years. Yeah. Brother Eddie, let me give you that before I lose it.
Okay.
I hope I didn't just lose it. Okay, I didn't. Executive Order 14067. And it was signed March 22nd, 2022.
And like I said, I don't know
that. No. Pardon me?
Thank you. Thank you for that. And that's on me.
Because
I had mentioned when you gave me that, that came up to 14:13.
Yeah.
Dealing with the title of my book, 13:14, instead of 14:13.
Yes,
the 6-7. Yeah, is a 13. So I saw that right away. Because when we did the class, it was on a 9, that 14067 comes up to a 9. And
yeah, someone has background noise. Sorry, Captain.
Yeah.
Oh, shucks. I can hear me. I'm sorry. I'm just chopping ice. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I thought
I'm here
myself.
Okay.
So, again, appreciate that, Sister Antoinette.
You're welcome.
Those numbers and that information that anybody who's interested, you know, and it's worthwhile just checking out, pull that up and read into it to get more detail, to get more informed. So,
I'm sorry, I can't go into detail.
I'm going to
shut up.
It's hard for you, so I know. So, right quick, we're going to go and get started, family. And, again, we're going to deal with a recap. So, to get the gist of everything that was said is in part one last week. So, again, we started with the gift and the faith of a mustard seed. And as I related to the family, the gift is a recurring dream that I have been having for the last 4 weeks now. It was 3 weeks last week. It's 4 weeks now. And this gift started billions of years ago with a big bang, a cosmic explosion releasing divine frequencies of cosmic rays touching everything everywhere. These cosmic rays became cosmic consciousness. And within this cosmic consciousness formed and developed and created the Galactic Federation. The Galactic Federation was given the spiritual assignment to soar time and space through dimension, galaxies, universes, stars, and planets, finding those worthy of receiving this gift. This gift consists of the universal principles of everything everywhere, the Ashoka records of past, present, and future. I see, I know, I am all seeing, all knowing. Part or your part is of a bigger part than yourself. And knowing that part is the key. Recognizing, seeing, and witnessing from birth to death is only the full circle of life. Time that was given is now being awakened again to the actual universal time. Man's time, or man's limited understanding of time in his relationship to the sun, making it a clock to basically equate that understanding of the movement of the cosmos of universal time. We had our original calendar that was thrown off, that was replaced. And by the way, calendar comes to 22, which is a 4. And we'll start seeing these once we tie that activation, once we see that God's number, Jesus Christ's number, and everything that was given is how it should be used, but how it has been corrupted. Even when we see, as I said, the calendar that we get into today that only has 12 months. See, calendar is 22, which is 4. It's a reason that the original calendar had 13 months and 28 days. 13 times 28 is 364. 3 plus 6 plus 4 is 13. Back to God again. Calendar being 22 or 4, God 13 or 4. The calendar is showing you 364 or 4. But again, this is why that calendar brought order of the universal movement of time. Everything was in accordance on the same day, each month, each year. And by now, giving us every birthday we have is a different day every year, never on the same day. Connection in and of itself takes us away to let us know again who we are. So after the calendar, we even get to what's known as the compass. Well, compass is also 22. And compass gives us the news, which basically breaks down to the four directions, north, east, west, and south. 22 or 4 again. But the energy and nature that is coming through our correct conversation activates that higher consciousness that truly grounds us and roots us
back into the frequency, the image and sound, even dealing with technology that is used to offset. Once we get back, we do the offsetting, but we can still utilize and use technology, which we're going to have to anyway. We're just learning the ways of using instead of being used. Numerology, which we're into, astrology, mysticism, key to unlock the so-called mystery or the secret, because it's never been a secret, it's just been hidden. But these words, in other words that I used last week, basically tells us what the gift was, what it was that we had. Fast forwarding, like I said, it started billions of years ago when our solar system, the Milky Way, was being created. The Federation took notice because it had what was called pet projects or pet experimental projects. And the frequency that this birth of this solar system gave off, Earth was special for one reason only, because of the water that it contained, that 70% of water. So knowing, being part of the all-seeing consciousness of these cosmic rays, the Galactic Federation set in motion by putting the cosmic seed of all of this into the Earth's atmosphere. So it would basically be transformed or implemented, put into the water, put into the Earth's atmosphere of the air, put into the soil in the Earth. So when things grew, when we drank the water, when we inhaled the air, all of these righteous orders of nature in the universe, of the universal principle, would enter. There were 13 royal nations of order that this was embedded in that traveled the world and started to implement, knowing everything that was going to happen 4,000 BC, 3,400 BC, I'm sorry. A curse to forget who we were placed upon these 13 nations. And from 3,400 BC all the way to 2050 AD, during the age of Aquarius, that the descendants of all of these royal nations of order, all of their descendants will forget as the centuries pass. And it was only during the age of Aquarius that the awakening would happen. And we once again would start vibrating on that divine frequency from the very beginning, billions of years ago. But when you look at the time 3,400 BC to 2050 AD, is 5,450 years. So this is the time span. But it's all connected. So at this time now, I'm starting to see, as far as the part that I've been giving with numbers and words, to see these particular words that help us activate
we're being activated already, but this only enhances what we already feel, what we know, that we don't know, that we think we know, that we know. It's only being enhanced. So again, as we constantly say, everybody ain't gonna get it. And it's not that you're not gonna get it now, because again, we can't change anything. I can't, whatever we're talking about, the universe dictates the change in you. All we're doing is helping to enhance wherever you are and whatever you're doing. So these are the time for that activation of frequency of sound. Because within this story that I just gave, that is our story. It's through the sound of my voice that gives you the image to see what you want to see. This is why even one of the commandments state, thou should be no engraven images. The image that you, the creator, just created in your own mind is what we're supposed to be doing. And this is one time I say, that's my opinion. Because the majority is, I'm on the number, so I'm not going to give an opinion. Because my opinion has a number. And when I do that, that's, at the end of the day, that's the one thing that I'm sticking with too. Because I'm relating the vibration of these words of the occult that we constantly say. And because we don't have any other means or any other way of seeing these words that we gravitate to by their definition, we have to find a way to expose and unravel the con behind the occult words of English that have put us in the spells. That's all it is. Once we start saying, I don't care if it's the numbers or music or science, whatever, if you find a way, that's just that part, share it, because it's only going to help and enhance all of us. Because again, at the end of the day, ain't no one of us going to make it by ourselves or do anything or change anything or get a movement started in anything by ourselves until we basically truly start being participants and not spectators. And I always try to reiterate, you ain't trying to go out and save the world. You start within your own circle, which means your own personal family circle, your metaphysical family. If you're into sports, your baseball, basketball, football, whatever it is. If you're in a clique, that's your circle. That's where you start. Because again, as we already know, everything that we're doing is actually information for our future, aka our children. That's our number one. That's why, as Brother Thomas said, his pockets hurt. Because we're trying to give and do the best we can for our children to deal with any nonsense they might have to, and as we're learning, they're going to have to. Because they're going to deal with stuff that we haven't even seen because it hasn't been developed. It hasn't been exposed. As Brother Thomas said, with the new technology, I've been seeing this with the phone tapping for about 5 years now. So, yeah, I didn't know that with different features of going through the train, because I don't even use that. So I'm quite sure if they're doing it in New York, they're doing something very similar here. But again, just to notice these things on what we've been talking about is the key to get it started, because you can't defend yourself if you're not even aware of what's happening right in front of your face. As the song went, wake up. Stop sleeping. Don't be creeping. Creep, 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 creep. Is the family still with me out there?
I'm here, brother. I'm listening to you.
Okay. No, that's what.
Everyone's still here. Brother Eddie, I do have a clip if you're interested. I do have a clip. So whenever you're ready for
that. You got a clip that you can play, not talk? Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, well, we'll do that. We'll do that right now. And first of all, did we have any other callers? And Brother Thomas, did you want to echo, say anything, or add anything before we went to this clip?
Yeah, well, I was just going to say that the ancestors known as the Mayans, they had a few calendars, and they had a 365-day calendar, and it was divided into 18 main months of 20 days each, plus a 1 month that'll have only have 5 days. And if you were born on any of those 5 days, you were said to be cursed. Those are the 5 days they fasted. Those days didn't have any names. Your name and everything was came about by the day you were born. And that's how you got your name. That's how you got your identity. And they called that the Hab, H-A-A-B. And they also had a... And that calendar was created in, actually the exact date is August 11th, 3114 BC. And it ended on December 21st, 2012, a total of 5,125 days. So that's how long that cycle lasts on that one calendar. And then they had another calendar which dealt with... the first 260 days of the year, which they divided into 13 different subcategories, and that's the spiritual calendar that they use. So the spirituality only took place the first 260 days of the year. Just very interesting how you were talking about calendars, so I just wanted to give a little history on the 365-day calendar. It's actually older than a lot of people think.
And in actuality, Brother Thomas, that's they just switched it up a little bit. It's actually the same calendar I'm talking about because, again, I actually, when you was giving me those numbers, I did a class woo about 5 years ago on that calendar. And, yeah, you're right. When you said, because, again, it echoed my number on my book, 1314. They just changed it around. It was 3114 BC, that you see it. Those numbers, 1314, which is basically Pi, family. They still using these things. It goes back to Pi, that circle, that original circle of infinity, never ending. And then you use the year 5,125 years. Woo, ain't that 13 again, baby? 5 + 1 + 2 + 5 = 13. Are we seeing what we're seeing? That even they put in the numbers of what they did? Yes, family. We own it. We own it.
Another correlation.
You brought that up, Brother Thomas. Go ahead. What you say?
Another correlation said that they started this calendar August 11th, 3114 BC. So August 11th is, my birthday is August 12th, by the way. August 11th. I believe they used the year 1973. That's the birth date of hip-hop, August 11th. That's the day that Kool Herc had the infamous party where all the different elements came together and, you know, created the lifestyle that we've been in since then, you know what I'm saying? All that, that whole, so that whole August 11th is virtual. I didn't even put those two together until I just looked at it like, wow.
Yes, yes, yeah. Like I said, man,
that might be a day. That might be a day that we need to manifest something. You know, because
hey, that's
obviously that's the day of manifestation, August 11th.
And guess what? Oh, you said August 11th. Hey, okay, I'm looking at another time. So yeah, but no. Yesterday, I keep wanting to make that a 10, October, because they done changed the days, or I mean, they done changed the names, replacing the names of the month with August, you know, because we know that's October, September, November, December, but they done put it, shifted up just by the name. So again, even that what you're saying, and not being on October, that name, and being in August, that name changes the number of the word of the month. It gives it another destination. These are things that they've done. All of this shit, it ain't for, no. Ain't nothing for granted. They ain't did nothing by coincidence. They ain't do nothing by chance. All of this is, at the end of the day, our ancient knowledge that's returning, because again, the curse was that we were cursed to forget. It wasn't cursed because we were black. That's the garbage we were taught. Black people hate themselves. We've been hearing this shit all our lives, that's all. But we coming out of it because, again, it's the awakening. I ain't got nothing to do with it. I'm just a part of it, blowing that horn. Danger, danger, danger. See? So, yeah, but I love it, and it's all coming together. And Sister Antoinette, I heard you try to break in, so if you want to go and play your clip now.
Okay, well, first we have a caller.
So.
I'm going to take the caller first. Erico 773.
Brother
Erico 773.
Yes, man. Yeah. What's going on, y'all?
Hey. Hello, Brother
What's
Jeff.
Happening, fam? How you doing?
I'm doing all right, bro. I wasn't going to call in, but you kind of struck a couple nerves. So I'm just gonna say what I'm gonna say, and I'm gonna let y'all get back to the show. I'm listening. True story. About two nights ago, I had back-to-back dreams about my mother, and that's never happened before since she made a transition a couple years ago. And one of the dreams, she was actually at the house. Well, you know, I sold a few months ago. And usually when I see either one of my parents or family members in a dream like that, it's something I'm doing wrong. Now, in those two dreams I had, she didn't specifically say anything to me. One of them, she was just kind of looking at me funny. So it's something I'm doing I ain't supposed to be doing. You know, but I'm eventually figure it out. Now, when you were talking about the water a few minutes ago, for the past few days, something has been in my body chemistry in terms of my mind of studying these water signs, especially the Scorpio. Why, I don't know. Eventually, I'm going to find out about it. And then getting on Brother Thomas. Thomas is a Leo. I do not get along with female Leos. I don't know what it is about. I don't know if they're fire signs or, you know, Capricorns are earth signs too. It's just my whole life, every time I dated a Leo, female Leo, it did not turn out good. So that's all I got to say.
And Brother D, you're paying attention because she said again, she gave you that look, and it lets you know that look, something you're doing wrong. So you're aware, you're paying attention. And that's the key to even what we're talking about tonight, dealing with the gift. Because gift is 25, which is 7. Dream is 16, which is 7. At times, our gift comes directly through our dream. But again, that's why it's called recognition. Recognize is 34, which is 7. We have to recognize in our dream the messages that's being given. So, yeah, my brother, you're on top of it. And as you said, you know, already you're speaking it into existence. It's going to come.
Yeah.
It's going to come.
Right.
So I love it, my brother.
Also,
keep it up.
If I can add, you were speaking about your dreams with the water. And I've been telling people, you know, for a while, look at every time there's a lot of flooding or anything else, look at all these places where they've been having the water shortages, where they claim their water shortages. But look at the events that we've seen that have added, that came before then. We've seen where they, first it was a heavy rain and, you know, it caused flooding. Then it was a drought or something, some kind of, and then they hollered the water was all bad. And then you see where people in these states, in these areas, didn't have water. So I would, you know, I would tell them, you know,
the water,
ones my
the
water's
bad in Jackson, Mississippi.
Attention.
That's been a story the past week.
Okay, but see, pay attention because are you close enough where that's going to affect you? I mean, because everywhere, you know, just if you follow the pattern and you see this is what's happening.
Yeah. And then, like, a lot of places are having droughts because of the heat. And they're on their government, state governments are telling, I think in California, telling people, you know, cool out on the water, the ration and everything. And it's like, it seems like it's all about the water.
Yeah. So I was telling people, you know, load up now on this water and stuff before it, you know, before they do it to you, you know, before they do it in your area. Make sure that you're loaded up on this stuff already so that you're not a part of this mass, you know, chaos that is going to be happening because people are going to try to get water. They're going to try to get canned goods. I mean, and this is things that we've been talking about, you know, for the what a couple of years now. So you want to, you know, get
longer than that.
Now
yeah.
So that you're ready for this. Yeah. Because when you look and you see the pattern, it's been a pattern.
And Brother D, I was going to mention that about California. I wish my cousin was listening because we were talking about this 2 weeks ago and what California was mentally preparing again.
Mm-hmm.
Half of the things that happen and we give energy to is because they not put it in our minds and on our minds and we're thinking about it that increases whatever they're manipulating the weather with. So, yeah, all of these fires in California that she was mentioning and even a dream, getting back to the dream that she had about fires in California and everybody trying to get out going to the east, you know. So, and then this unprecedented heat at the same time that California is all of a sudden getting to put them in a bigger drought than they've already been in. So, yeah, we starting to connect the dots to see how they're doing all this because it's all connected at the end of the day.
And it sounds like you're talking about the elements too. What'd you say, Thomas?
If y'all remember when they had the water crisis in Flint, and then it came out, the largest supplier of bottled water in our country is a company called Nestle.
Yeah.
And Nestle owns Poland Spring and Deer Park and Pure Life and all that stuff, right? And they get their water from Michigan and under the but, you know, in the wells of Michigan. So the people in Flint drinking bad water, the well that they can't access is owned by Nestle with all the good water that they're selling to everybody in the country, right? So
And Thomas, check this out. It's funny you mentioned Nestle because when I was deployed, guess who was the number one company that supplied our bottled water to us?
Had to be Nestle.
Yeah.
Had to be Nestle. Now,
it was.
Avion, y'all heard of Avion water, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Where they tell you Avion water comes from?
Some spring. Isn't it a spring or Well,
in the commercial, they say it comes from the French Alps. It comes from the French Alps, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's where water comes from. I mean, guess where
probably right here from the waterfalls where they done filtered it.
Guess what city? The first of, I believe it's 19 wells that Avion fills their waters up from in the United States happens to be Compton, California.
Compton.
And all Avion water in that they bottle in the United States comes from California. So they talked about they got a drought, but Avion owns all the wells. All that water, that natural water that's been sitting in the charcoal, so it's pure, that's under California. And that's why it's so salty, because, you know, the ocean also flows under California. So all that to say...
Straight out of Compton.
Straight out of Compton, yep. The worst city in the country. They don't benefit a dime from it. You know what I'm saying? But that's how they do it, bro.
Wow, that's crazy. And mentioning
that's
Flint, brother, yeah, we can go all the way back to the movies, Three the Hard Way.
Yeah.
Even they were telling us through the movie about the contamination water in Flint.
Yeah, and who were they out to get?
That's why they had to have Three the Hard Way, three brothers.
Yeah, and remember, it wasn't just Flint, it wasn't just Detroit, it was California, it was Chicago. They knew that, but mainly it was all of the urban cities that they were out to get to infiltrate through this. So is their plan still continuing?
Oh, yeah, that's why we're having problems here in Dalton and other suburbs here in Illinois are having water problems and have been having water problems for the last 3 to 5 years. So, it's everywhere.
Yes, and so with that, I do have a clip for y'all. Okay, let me do this. Okay, y'all listen. This is America. Is he right what he says about black people? And I don't remember the clip, but I do remember downloading it. So it must have been important enough for me to do it. So here it is.
What's up, family? This is your man, not your boy, Go Black to Africa. I want to share this video with you that sometimes I'm very hesitant in doing when showing Europeans are enlightening us as a people. When we got many of people who are sharing the truth, yet our own people don't believe it. So because of the hard-headedness or the disbelief, or being indoctrinated and don't believe that our people know who we are, the truth of the matter, sometimes we'll go resort to those on the outside of who we are or our race or our continent and let somebody else tell us. But listen to this guy right here, and then I'll be back.
And we talk about Dahomey and Benin, West Africa, and the three things that they attempted to do upon the black men. And that is in the black women. And that is they walked around the tree. How many remember the Detroit Tribal Revival? And they put three potential, they were never cursed people, but potential curses on those people. And that is of sexual immorality, financial instability, and utter poverty. And that they would forget their roots and where they came from. And that's what I'm going to be, my whole teaching today is on the third one there that I want to take a look at. Again, they attempted to put a voodoo or obeah curse on them of sexual immorality, Number two, financial instability and utter poverty. And number three, that they would forget their roots and where they came from. All right, let's go into culture. So how are we going to reach, this specific culture? Watch what happens. Now, we're going to pull up and we're going to talk about history. And we have to go back into their history to explain where they came from. And number two, in America, because we live in a democracy slash republic, many of you start out in the very beginning like, I don't really care. Well, by the time it's done, trust me, their life has changed. Amen. Let's go in right now. Let's follow the narrator right now. This comes out of, part of it comes out of a narration in Torah 201. You saw some of this with the history of the African people in the Bible. And what are we doing now? What are we doing right now? We're going in to identify culture.
Africa, then and now. In ancient biblical times, Africa was known by many names. Number one, Akibulan, mother of all mankind, Garden of Eden. Number two, Kemet. Three, Libya. Four, Artiga. Five, Corfe. Six, Egypt. Seven, Ethiopia. Eight, Sudan. Nine, Olympia. 10, Hesperia. 11, Oceania. North Africa and Northeast Africa, now presently the Middle East, was linked by a strip of land called the Sinai Peninsula. The completion of the Suez Canal on November 17, 1869, severed the physical link that connected North Africa and Northeast Africa. The final separation came in World War II when the war correspondents coined the term Middle East to describe the area that now encompasses Israel, Jordan, Syria, Lebanon, Iran, Saudi Arabia, Oman, Yemen, Kuwait, Bahrain, Iraq, the United Arab Emirates, and Qatar.
Now, so what happened was, is that now we're going to set the stage right now, okay? Look at your notes again. So what have we learned? That Africa did not have just the name Africa, isn't that right? It had several names. So that's really critical. We understand that. We become familiar with those terms. And I'll tell you, so that what? So that when you sit on a seat on an airplane, we begin to open up a discussion, and we begin to dialogue with them. Now, Rabbi, why would you even concern them? I mean, like, who really cares about this? Well, in the last days is a prophecy, and we're seeing the prophecy being fulfilled. In Deuteronomy 30, verses 1 through 6, God said he's going to regather and ingather those who he has scattered to the nations. The Bible says he's going to bring them back to the land, making an aliyah to the land, and they're going to have a greater heritage in the land. Isn't that right? Amen? Okay, we're going to stop right now. Now we're going to begin to take a look at the history of this. This is some great stuff if you can hang in there. So what I'm going to do right now from the beginning of Genesis all the way through, I'm going to show you the line that most people do not understand. And when people say that color doesn't matter to them, but it matters to someone who is an inner city, who has went through a struggle, who every time they walked into place, they were the isolated people, and et cetera. How many know that? Amen? And so you have to identify with the culture. You have to love the culture. You have to have a passion for the culture. You have to become knowledgeable of what's going on. Because sometimes the worst fight I find within the black culture is the black culture. They all fight amongst each other. Amen? So a lot of times we've just got to have them understand that God has a covenant promise for these people.
Amen.
And their covenant promise, even though part of that curse of the Obia curse, again, they were never cursed people, is that they would forget their roots and where they came from. So, when we were in Barbados, I asked the whole crowd, a large crowd there, I asked them a question. I said, how many of you know Moses? And they all raised a hand. I said, so I'm going to ask you a question. If I ask you this, when you envision this, okay, tell me what color skin he has. Okay, you can see here the pin drop in the place in here. What do you think they said? What do you think
people.
They said?
Final point.
White. And I said, well, that's interesting. I said, if I ask you the name Joseph in the Bible, what color skin would you say? Now, this is an all-black culture. This is all-black community. Okay? What do you think they said? White. Okay? If I ask them, who enslaved you in Africa? Who do you think they said? Wow. I told him, you flunked every exam.
Now.
Okay, now, so what's my agenda? How am I witnessing? How to witness the Torah? Say that with me. How to witness the Torah?
How to witness
okay,
the Torah.
So if the culture cannot see themselves in the Torah, you can't witness the Torah.
Right.
You're done. You're whistling Dixie. Because if you think you can come and teach them the principles of God when they don't even believe that they're even in the Bible and no one before them ever did them, and they're acting their mindset, well, then nobody else did them. Why should I do them? They have to see themselves in the culture, in the scriptures, in the text. And ladies and gentlemen, whether you think, and I know this is a highly, pray for me, will you please pray for me? How many feel, I can feel a pin drop in the place, talk to your sisters, amen? And part of the reason why, no offense, part of the reason why black churches don't teach this is because they don't want to get in the struggle either. They don't want to make it, quote unquote, racially motivated. People, this has nothing to do with racially oriented. I'm going to say that again. This has nothing to do with being racially oriented. This is biblical.
Amen.
I'm going to repeat that. This is biblical.
Amen.
These are biblical people. If they weren't, why are they in the Bible? If God didn't want you to see this, then why did he write it? He did it because it has to do with his story, Yahweh's story. He has a plan. Come on, everybody in the last days. His plan. All right? And this plan is to gather and regather the tribes. So the priesthood, and then I turned to my black culture and I said, what? Your bloodline is priesthood? And no one told you that? I mean, like, not even one sermon with the Holy Ghost? Not one time. Everybody's up. I mean, like, it never even crossed their mind. Like, I should maybe just mention this. I want to ask you a question. Why, out of thousands and thousands of preachers, would not one in the Holy Ghost have the revelation? Could it be that the presence of this thing that happened in Africa maybe still has some influence that you forget your roots and not even be interested in it? So you wonder why you're hated. Because it's what's in your blood. See, you don't know who you are. And God wants to reveal it to you. But even as I'm telling you it, no offense, can I just be frank? Even as I tell the black culture this, it's like, don't bring it up. And so what I do with my big mouth, I bring it up. Why? Why should you be ashamed of your culture? I don't understand it. It's not in my logic. Well, you've not experienced the persecution. Maybe I have not. But maybe this will prevent much persecution. So now what do I do when I'm witnessing to the black culture? I'm saying, your forefathers, now walk with me, don't miss this. Because 98% of everybody out there believes that their roots starts in Africa. So they call themselves black African Americans. And really what they should be talking themselves is they are what? The Hebrews and the Jews of the original temple of the city of David.
So what do you think? I just want to say in short closing, there's a reason why we are a chosen people. There is a reason why we are treated the way we're treated. And in this whole scheme of things of me educating people, I have been revealing why, and I will continue to reveal why it is. Until we wake up and realize who we are, who we should be serving to be the example for the rest of the world, we will always be hated. We will always be suffering. Until now, many people are starting to wake up and realize the truth. This is your man, not your boy. Go black to Africa.
Think about it. Think about it.
Okay, Brother Eddie, you got it.
Sister Antoinette, thank you. That clip is what I sent you last week that you played on last week's class. And again, I thank you for it because it echoed the gift. That's our gift. Gift 25, which is 7. Bloodline. Blood is 12. Line is 13. 12 plus 13 is 25. 2 plus 5 is 7. Our gift is our bloodline. That gift in us, like he said, is the melanin. Melanin is 16 at 7. That's our bloodline.
Yeah.
That's why that's our culture. Thank you, Brother Derek, because I forgot to mention that. Culture is 34, which is 7.
Chosen that's people with 7 also.
Yes. That's why we've been cursed. Curse is 7. So, again, family, we're waking up because it's just, as I said, the universe dictates all changes. That 5, again, the second title of the show other than the gift is The Faith of a Mustard Seed. Faith is 25, which is 7. Mustard seed comes up to 50. So when you look at it, that 25-7 is birth. That mustard seed is death. That 25 faith, birth, is you come into that 4. Mustard seed, death is a circle, the full circle of life and death. But the melanin that's part of our bloodline is our true weapon to the universe. Melanin 7, bloodline 7, consciousness 7, weapon 7. The melanin. Because melanin, when you look at in actuality, the faith that's actually within our melanin, the faith of that mustard seed, the mustard seed looks just like our pineal gland. Pineal gland is 32, the 5. Mustard seed is 50, the 5. For me, it's all a code. Code is 5. The code is knowing the game. Game is 5. And we say game, recognize game. Well, for me, that's what we're in right now. It's called the age of Aquarius comes to 55 when you put that of into the age and Aquarius. It's a 55. That's game and game, game recognizing that game. That's food for thought. That's practice.
The serotonin equals 34, which is 7 also.
Yes. Yes. Melatonin and serotonin. That's why it transfers from that third eye being what's called your pituitary gland. Pituitary is 41. It receives the food. Food is 14 from the rays. Rays is 14 of the sun. It transfers that light into that pineal gland. As pituitary is 41, pineal gland is 32, 5 and 5. Wow. It's the transition of the frequency, the sound that we are giving one another that's starting to activate and vibrate. We're really flowing with what's happening when we talk about it in the spiritual. Because, again, that 7 is called a bank. Investment is also 7. And when we're talking about investment bank, right away we think of the structure of the system that deals with money. The money is the mind. The investment bank is the memory bank. We put in too much in the physical and not enough in the spiritual. That's why it's the seven is Aquarius. Seven is nature. Seven is consciousness. Seven is yourself. So when we're doing all of this, it all deals with yourself, knowing yourself. But that part of yourself is through everything in nature and the universe that's being revealed. So, yeah, as he said, family, we talk about melanin. And again, it's worth its weight in gold. We talk about it. But this is why we're hated. And we hear that term, 1 ounce of black blood. They want that fucking ounce. We thinking, oh, that's bad. They don't want to be black. Shit, if they don't. We always talking about them taking our blood. That seven call our organ. Wanting our organ and our melanin. Organ is seven. Melanin is seven. And that blood line, they want that blood from our line. So does anybody have anything? Because, again, I got real quiet, and I know I got in and started talking. But, yeah, I appreciate that because it was poignant again, Sister Antoinette, and I thank you for it. Go ahead, Brother Thomas.
Yeah, you know, a few things that I can't deal with. One of them is religion. And I went to the World Trade Center. In the octaves, I was going to work. I was working at the hospital in Jersey. So I'm going to catch the PATH train, brings you across the Hudson River. And then the World Trade Center octaves, this is where you catch the train at. They had a replica of the Sistine Chapel, the Vatican. And they had the very first picture ever drawn by a Catholic church, and it's called, I believe, the Hands of God, the Hand of God. And what it has is a picture of a big white hand reaching out the sky and a little white hand reaching up to the big white hand. Okay, so that's why everybody sees those characters as white. Two, it is those pictures, the 15 chapters. You can go look at them. That's your first picture of the Christ and all that stuff. This is in the late 1400s. It predates the Bible. Bible don't come until 1516 with the Novum Instrumentum, which becomes the New Testament over time. But you can kind of see how it's first edition, second edition. Each edition, they add another book, another story, you know. Start with three gospels, 100 years later, they add a fourth one. It's not feel-goodism. So when I heard that, I felt like I was just left a good old Kemet lecture on 125th Street. You know, you need feeling good about it. Yeah, it's all about us. But our reality is our reality. It takes us away from the reality we in. We can't feel good through those stories. Oh, those we talked about, those people ain't even existed. It came out of 1516. It was stories written from the pictures. He told them, write it from the pictures. Look up Erasmus, E-R-A-S-M-U-S. He wrote it, the book, the Bible, the Novum Instrumentum, the New Testament, from the pictures of the 16 chapters. That's the Last Supper. All this is added in the book from the greatest story that keeps us locked out of real reality. You know what I'm saying? No one's coming back to save us. Gotta do it ourselves. And we always find things to keep us going in. Looking for something else to save us. You know, spirit coming back to save us. And, you know, it might have to come down to us taking up arms. That's how they took it from us. I mean, it keeps us out of the reality of being last place in the richest country in the world, being gentrified all over the country, Mexicans moving in like crazy. You can kind of see where they're going. White people are dying off. Who do you think they're leaving it to, us or the Mexicans? You know, so, you know, it's time for us to start think that Bible is really keeping us locked into a paradigm. We didn't get that until slavery, and we've been holding on to that ever since.
Yes, I agree, Brother Thomas. And again, like I'm always saying, these stories in the Bible that they give us, they also tell you that they're allegories, parables, and metaphors. And we, most people, take everything literally and don't have the one that's called a personal relationship behind what they're reading, with their understanding and interpretation of what they're getting, since they're supposed to get what they're supposed to get from the word. But by the stories and them being locked in, programmed to these different stories, you know, and that becomes a belief system, which is hard to break. Again, for me to see all of the truth that's being revealed, that even I give it, is through seeing the number behind even what the title of this book is called, the Holy Bible, the Garden of Eden. All of these is one by number. You come to one. Self comes to one. For me, it's a book that's giving us a process of everything that's happening in us that's actually happening up in the cosmos, as above, so below. But we're only seeing it one way. And even reading it from the story to see the numbers of what's actually is coming from the cosmos. They just now changed it with the characters and individuals in the story. And we gravitate to characters that, for me, by my consciousness and my thinking, is just to inquire, why haven't I ever seen any fossil of any figure from the Bible? Not one. And when I mention it to anybody who has any type of so-called power to do anything, it falls on deaf ears. Yeah, I can see, even in museum, million-year-old dinosaur bones. When we get anything biblical, it ain't nothing about no bones or fossils of anything. But just like Hollywood's story of the Ten Commandments, and as that link stated, Moses, what color was he? In a black congregation, and they all said white, brainwashed. But for me to just give them what's needed by the number, Moses' number comes to 20, which is 2. Black comes to 11, which is 2. You got to tell me nothing else, because even in the description of Jesus, under the numbers of what they stand behind the words, gives you exactly what it's what it's saying. Burnished brass. Burnt 14, brass is 2, 20, which comes to that 2, black again. They just hiding it behind all of these different objects and dealing with the story. But for me, I see the truth behind what they even trying to hide. But anyway, I digress, Brother Thomas. Thank you, because again, yeah, you echo all of that sentiment, basically. Another way, and that's great, because we all have different angles that we come from, but we go into that one frequency, that one sound, that whole, that one. We're all connected to the part of the whole called the one, and just coming from different angles, different ways, different avenues. Go ahead, Brother Thomas. Were you about to say something?
No, I was just going to say quickly, just connecting what both of y'all were saying, it was like, and I think me and Thomas kind of, well, had this conversation indirectly or directly a few weeks ago. Can't save everybody. You know, at some point, and Thomas knows this, it's like,
And I shouldn't take this personal. It's just like every time what drives me batty, when I go out somewhere, I see black folks with masks and gloves on. That shit drives me off the wall. But at the same time, I can't worry about them. I have to be concerned with myself. And we're talking, Thomas had mentioned earlier about the Savior. You know, the best and only Savior is actually yourself. Ain't nobody coming out the sky. Ain't nobody jumping out that Bible to save you. Ain't no president going to save you, no governor, no mayor, no LeBron James, none of that shit. You're your Savior. And I think people, slowly but surely, somewhat, some way, are starting to wake up to that factor. But is it going to be everybody? No, unfortunately. You know, and then it's like my father always used to tell me back in the day, a hard head make a soft ass. And that is so true in so many ways. Somebody contacted me earlier today and told me that they took those jabs. Now they wanted to know what can they take to get that shit out their system. A couple weeks ago, a partner I grew up with, he posting pictures and stuff of him wherever he was at taking the jab. Now he ended up in the hospital a couple weeks ago with blood cancer. Blood cells and shit, thinking up all fucked up. And I tried to tell him, bruh, sending him the information. Oh, that's fake news. Okay. He's at home now. I think he's on chemotherapy, but, you know, and then one thing I got to learn about this, you know, sharing the information and stuff like that, everybody's not going to listen. And I shouldn't be taking it personal. Neither should any of us. You know, we try to share information with our friendly, our family members, our loved ones. They don't want to hear it. Hey, so be it. You know. So, and that's the thing I got to learn. Like I said, it pisses me off. But then again, it's like, well, with this, nothing else I can do. And it's like, as long as I'm not out there doing that dumb shit, whatever, you know, it's a start. Some people are going to vibe with what we're saying. Some people ain't, you know.
Brother Derek, like you said, don't take it personal. No, brother, it is personal. Take it personal, but learn like you're learning. You're learning how to disconnect from all of those who right away through their conversation, through the mass or all this, you already know.
Right.
So that's why personal seven, conversation seven.
When their conversation
dictates they ain't there, higher is seven. Then you disband because the conversation is going what? It's going to drain you. Drain is seven.
Right.
Don't let them drain you because you're there to help. Help is seven. And that help is energy to energize them and to activate them. And if they don't see it,
and at the same time, if they don't want the help, I shouldn't let that drain my life force.
There you go. Like I said, let it go, because all they've done is let you know right away you don't need to waste that time, that energy. See?
Mm-hmm.
So that's all it does. It tells you right away, stop. Stop.
Let me add one here, because it's a lot of times where I talk to people about stuff, and I think they don't listen, you know, they don't pay no attention. Sometimes I get pushback. And it might be 5-6 years later, I bump into people, you told me this one day, and I didn't believe you. And, you know, it happens to me all the time. Just like, so sometimes you plant a seed and the person ain't listening, because they, it's not that they ain't listening to you, they just don't want to hear it. Because they don't have no recourse for what it is. Whatever, you know, they don't have no solution. So why telling me another problem? I don't want to hear another problem, you know what I'm saying? But when that problem presents itself to them later, maybe they hear it from somebody else and it triggers them right back to, well, what did I hear that from before? And it's Derek, you know what I'm saying? And you'll bump into someone and they'll – so this happens to me all the time, people I used to work with. I don't even remember the people anymore. Like, I know your face. I don't remember where I know you from. You told me that, you know what I'm saying? You know, like, I know right. I probably said that, but I don't remember you. You know what I'm saying? But it happens to me all the time, especially with these young boys. Like, I say something to them, and I always tell them something that's about to happen. And then when it happens, they come back like, yo, you said this was going to happen. You know, I tell them, like, yo, you know, I always tell them, like even with the cat, I've been talking about the cast of society. So I know once they start having, you know, now they out here selling their little drugs. They taking Cash App. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're seeing that it's happening. So it gives you credibility when you speak to them again because you was right the first time, even though they might not even acknowledge you was right, but they was listening to you. You understand? And they'll shut up and listen more intently the next time. So I just say don't give up on it. You know what I'm saying? Just change your delivery. You know what I'm saying? Change your delivery with it. Especially, like, I always try to, I don't try to talk to people older than me because I realize that people that's after a certain age, I'm 45. So I say anyone 45 or older, you're not changing their mind about nothing. You know what I'm saying? I had a conversation with a dude in the text, and he was the older boy, I forget his name, and he was telling me about what happened during the World Trade Center. And I'm like, I was dead. I saw exactly what happened. He's telling me I didn't see what I saw. I'm like, all right, man, were you there? Like, you watched so many theories on it, you know, people to get money. I watched them stand outside and get money for 20 years with the fake stuff about the plant. I saw it. You can't tell me I didn't see. I got to call people up who saw it. Like, the science doesn't exist. I don't give a fuck what the science says. I see about what I saw. Like, you know, like, but that's the way it goes, man. Like, you just plant a seed. I say try to talk to people younger than you because they're more 20s, 30s. 30s is real good. That's like a real good age. Like, though, you could talk to 30-year-old people, and they'll listen to you, and they'll research what you say. If you try to tell somebody my age to look something up, they don't want to look it up. Yo, look this article up. Now tell me what it said. Like, man, you could go look it up. They don't even want to, you know, go do the research. So that's what I'm saying. Like, I try to talk to younger people because first thing is they're going to be in charge soon. It's more of them than us. And to me, it's more important for them to get the information because they're going to act on it. Whereas, you know, people my age, they're not going to act on it. They're just going to pray for better, you know, so hope that doesn't happen. Oh, man, I don't want to hear no more about that, man. You're scaring me. Like, this about to happen, man. What are you talking about? How is this scaring you? You could prepare for it. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, that's where I go with it, man. So, yeah, I think that you try to talk to people that's too old, man. You just realize you never going to change your mind, bro.
All right, Brother Thomas, you know I got pulled back on that. It's the only thing. What you talking about, people old? You 45, man. I'm 62. I listen to you. Shit, I even got in touch with you about this.
Nah,
what you
not
mean?
Everyone, bro. So, no. Well, you're not the norm.
Make it clear.
I'm not offended.
We can share information with each other all day, and everyone sharing information. Like, it's some people I can send something to. I don't want to see that. You know what I'm saying? Like, how do you?
Right,
you know,
right.
Want to see it, you know, because it's not saying what they want you to hear. They want to hear something good. Like, let me send my aunt something positive about, or something negative about Biden. I don't even have to say positive. Something negative about Biden. Still, don't send me that. Don't send me anything else. Like, they only want
right.
to read.
They'll get upset.
They'll get upset with you. So I'm not talking about you guys, bro. I'm talking about people that will not all people, bro. It's the majority, man, and it's mostly black men, I think, bro. Because you can't tell a black female nothing. I don't care what age she is. You can just
oh,
now
that's
that.
Not even right. That's not right.
I'm sorry.
You can't tell a black
I'm
female
sorry.
Nothing. That's not right.
You're right. If they over 80, you can tell them something. But under 80, you got a hard chance.
I really don't think you can tell them anything over 80.
No, they'll listen to you, man. They they're from the generation where they, you know, they listen to a man. You know what I'm saying? A man has some respect in their mind. They not from the generation where they've been raised like that. Niggas ain't shit. Niggas ain't shit. Yeah. That's what their mama ever told them. And that's just how they go outside and act. They'll put a hole in another brother's head because they've been taught he ain't nothing. They'll go to McDonald's and shoot another brother because their mother got cold fries. You know what I'm saying? That's how it's going. You know what I'm saying? So,
okay, so
older,
what do we do about
my grandmother.
What do we do about that? What do we do about us killing us? What do we do about that? How do we change that? Because we have too many that
never
are fighting the wrong fight.
If we don't promote
pride in ourselves so that this stops, because we are creating our own genocide. Who is genociding us? We're genociding us. So what do we do about that so that this stops? We have to stop.
Can I break in right quick, family?
Yes, go ahead.
What we're talking about and what we're doing right now is how we stop this. Like this whole conversation dealing with dropping that seed. See, when we drop a seed, we don't stay there and try to water the damn seed. Somebody else comes along and water it.
Yeah.
And eventually enough people that confirms that seed with the water that they keep putting on it, that person's going to see it. Like, again, Brother Thomas said, years later, the person that comes up to him, he don't even recognize, tell him that, man, what you said, because, again, we don't dictate it. Time will tell. We always say that. We ain't got to convince a person. If we see it and we know it, it's coming down the road. It ain't going to happen today or tomorrow. It's down the road.
Right.
They're going to see it. If it's meant for them to see, as we say, many are called, few are chosen. All of them ain't going to see it.
Right. Right.
So, again, you're just developing your stage of learning and spirituality of knowing that when you talk to certain people right away, you're going to start being able to see it damn near instantaneously or feel it spiritually. I don't even need to talk to that person. That person ain't ready. His vibration ain't right. Her vibration ain't right. You know, by their actions alone, things they do. Actions is seven. Actions speak louder than the words. A lot of people tell us through their actions what they're all about before they open their mouth. So, yeah, all of this is no part, no more than the lessons that we're learning each and every day as we touch the chosen ones, comes to that five and five. That food for thought. The chosen have food for thought. I don't care who they are. If they're making you think, they're part of the chosen ones. They're giving you food for thought. And again, they're definitely practicing what they preach. So that's in this vibration that's actually happening right now. This change that we're feeling, we're seeing, we're doing, it's happening. So, yes. That's part of what we're doing when we try to be more or do more than what we're supposed to do with what we have. It's not going to get done. That's why I said we stay in our own circle and talk to those, because even in your own circle, it's a lot of those who don't even hear or listen or want to hear, want to listen in your own family, your own circle.
Mm-hmm.
And as Brother Thomas said and stated, we go outside that circle and go to that metaphysical family circle of those who hear, that we don't have to do that much explaining because they're already there. And we are basically fortifying and activating one another, energizing each other to, again, go back out and do what we're doing with those in our circle. Don't we do this each and every week? We get information from this show and that show, this class and that class. And then we interject that to those who we feel are ready or at least willing to hear. or we hear something in what they say that strikes up that information that we just talked about, and we share that. So that's all we're doing. We're just learning how to do it better. Because
what you say, do it
till
you're satisfied.
Whatever it is. Yes. Come on and do it. So yes, family, I love it. So Sister Antoinette, you give out the information for the weekend, because if us brothers don't keep going, Fernand, because again, family, we're going to keep a conscious eye on the time and understand that Sister Antoinette is still in the hospital, you know. So we want to be conscious and aware of making sure that we've given her what she needs as far as this energy for the shows, because, again, this is part of her therapy, you know, and this is why being in the hospital wasn't going to stop her this time. And I
no,
felt that.
Wasn't.
So,
yeah,
again.
I needed it more than y'all did. I needed it.
Yeah. So you go ahead and give out the information for Dry Bones. So I think we only got about 18 minutes or so before the 10 o'clock hour, 11 o'clock for you.
Yeah. Okay, y'all, don't forget Dry Bones on Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern time for the Helios Filios. That's 10 a.m. Sunday. And don't forget Brother Ray at 3 p.m. on Sunday, no matter where you are, 3 p.m. Eastern time for the drumming. And am I
and the number,
anything?
If you want, no, it's just in case we do go past 10, the number is 515-605-9343. If anybody wanted to call in too before you can't get in after the top of the hour. Again, that number is 515-605-9343. You can contact me at eharris12764@gmail.com. Go ahead, Sister Antoinette.
Okay. If anybody has a question or comment, press the number one and I'll open up your line.
So yeah.
Okay. Well, nobody hasn't pressed one, so
I said Jolo.
Like 15 minutes. Pardon me.
I was telling the family I sent thoroughly to everyone. And this is
thank you.
The state of I don't think you're on the text though, Sister Internet, but I'll explain what it is. And this is the state of the mindset of some of these young guys. So you have this and I'm sure Eddie and Derek is familiar with the guy King Von, who was killed from Chicago. He's a rapper. And he was killed.
Oh,
in
Philadelphia, that's the one that was killed in Philadelphia?
No, he was killed in Atlanta. He was
okay.
He got out of his car, he saw another rapper that he had beef with. He went up and started punching the guy, and the other rapper's friend pulled out a gun and shot and killed him. And then they just started shooting at each other, both entourages.
Oh,
the guy died. A couple weeks ago, the guy who was behind the shooting of King Von, the guy who he didn't pull the trigger, but the whole shooting was over him. He's in Los Angeles, and his friend gets shot up. They shoot at his car 19 times. They don't hit him, but they kill his friend. And he's supposedly, and this is where I'm getting at, this gang culture that's permeating our youth today. You know, this is a problem that Chicago's always had, right? But it's becoming like national. Because of what's happened, he's not getting the support from the Rolling 60 Crips, who he's a member of. He throws down his do-rag. He's no longer a gangbanger. But, you know, you're responsible for two people getting killed now, bro. It ain't no you don't want to play the game anymore. But see, that's what these young kids is thinking, because they do this all on the internet. This ain't real to them until it's real to them. You know what I'm saying? They want to be a Blood and Crip on TV and on the internet. And then when this real stuff starts happening, oh, they don't want to play no more. You know what I'm saying? Oh, I'm done now. You know, and I'm looking at this like, what you know, now you really out here by yourself now, bro. You really, you know, set yourself up. But this is the mindset of so many of these young kids today. So you ask, what's the solution? The solution is to get these kids out these games. And that mindset of they have to have this group of people around them at all time. You know, I think what do is we need to separate. We need to get away from one another for a while. You know how you have somebody, a husband, wife, whatever, and you go away for a couple weeks and then you miss them. You know, y'all didn't get along, and now all of a sudden, you know, I miss her now. You know what I'm saying? Because you've been away for, like, we need that, we need a separation period. That's what I think will be the solution for us, is we need to separate. Stop trying to live. Because we were never meant to live in no ghetto. The ghetto was designed for Jewish people to live in. We never supposed to live in a ghetto. We always lived a certain way. You know, even as slaves, we lived a certain way. We were never supposed to be packed up on top of one another. That's what was created for Jewish people. You can find out, look up the definition of a ghetto. That's what they invented for poor white Eastern Europeans, not for black people. And you can't tell me that our behavior hasn't become exactly what they was doing to each other when they lived in the ghetto. That's why they had to get out and separate and spread out in the suburbs away from one another. Because, you know, what's going to happen? He's looking at the same people every day. Everybody, the solution is, to me, we got to get out of this, these urban environments, because that's where most of the stuff is happening.
So, again, I couldn't concur more. Just tapping on some keys that you said. Jewish, you know, something that they wish they were. Jewish people, you know, in the ghetto. And all they did was, again, did a test, which was called a project. And what did they put black people in the urban community projects? It was a project, the ghetto of what the Jews had. And again, the Jewish people, because as the individual stated, the Hebrews and the Jews, that's why they want to be us, Jewish. Jew comes to 13. See? And what does the phony Jew always says is their motto? We will never forget. As we, the real Jew, have been cursed to forget. Flipping the script, we're now remembering, knowing who's who and what's what. So I want to make sure that I ended on that note of even seeing who and recognizing the real Jew and the Jewish, who are the so-called wealthy, rich, that aren't the actual people that we are. Why they hate us so. We ain't do shit to them other than being born and being who we are, that we not forgot. So with that, did anybody have any closing statements, remarks, concerns?
I got a quick little caveat to add on what you just said, Brother Addy. This is more of an inside story. When I say inside story, I'm talking about something that happened in Chicago, my old neighborhood, Inglewood. And this is how this vibration and thing works. I love it. Now, Eddie, y'all, I literally, what you just said, Eddie, I went back in the old neighborhood last weekend to go pick up my mail. I usually go off there every weekend. And so I was having a conversation with one of my mother's friends, our neighbor. She moved in the neighborhood, I think, like in the early 1950s, whatever, 51 or something like that. And so she was telling me that at that particular time, they were all, you know, white people, Jewish people in the neighborhood. But then at the same time, a lot of the Jewish people own the property, the real estate over there. And she said what happened, the whole, as far as whole, the whole race thing with a lot of these so-called Jewish people, sometimes it's not about race with them. It's about money. As long as they get some money from you, they don't care. So to make this story short, so basically she said what happened over there, that it was an apartment building. Matter of fact, the apartment building was next door to my house. And so she said at the time, it was a black family, one of the first black families that moved over there. And so what happened, the Jewish person that owned the building purposely moved that black family in to get the rest of the white people out, to move more black people in so they can make more money. I never heard that story before. And now, moving fast forward to 2020, the neighborhood is desolate and it's abandoned. So after the blacks and stuff had moved in there, they figured, well, you know, neighborhood's changing. We don't need to be here anymore. We want to go someplace else. You know, our kids are grown up now, went to college, yada, 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 whatever. There's no need for us to be over here anymore. But now when in terms of leaving the kids and stuff, the grandkids, the property, they didn't want it. And now it's basically, it's abandoned. It's desolate now. So that's all I had to say.
Yeah, I look at that as just, it made me see a personal explanation of somebody living during the time of a different way that they use what they call redlining to either get you in or out. So it was moving white people out, you in, and again, upping the price, increasing the price to make more money off of something that for their own people, as they always do, it's not as much. Even when I worked for True Green Chemline and I got so pissed at that, working in the city and these little neighborhoods with very, very small yards, you can basically jump from house to house, going through the walkway between each house. But they were charging prices of these big-ass houses in the suburbs to the amount that they were charging to the black people in the neighborhoods. Oh, man, I'm like, I'm definitely getting mad. Because I can do 10 houses for one house that I do in the suburb. And they paying the same amount of money. Come on now. What kind of scheme and deal y'all done did and y'all doing? Because you know, ain't nobody going to take the time to see what's being paid for a lawn service. But again, those of us who are aware, pay attention to these things. So, yeah, fam, it ain't stopped. It's just got more sophisticated.
Right.
So, Brother Thomas, did you have anything to add?
Yeah, which I was just talking about. I had read a long time ago a book. And it was breaking down Chicago, how they allocated certain areas for black people to live in. And the white people damn near tripled the prices on the properties, and that's how much black people had to pay because that was the only place they could live in the city anyway, you know what I'm saying? And, man, I had another book. It was about a part of Chicago called Bubbly Creek. You ever heard of that?
No, say that
what
again.
Was it, Brother Thomas? What did you say?
Bubbly Creek.
Bubbling Creek. Now, I'm not familiar with that. I don't know.
I never heard of that.
Okay.
That was, all around that area was black people. And what happened was all the meat processing, I think, for the beef was done in Chicago at one point. And then it went from there all around the country. And they would throw the guts from the meat into that creek. And it got so contaminated that it was so hard, all of the carcasses, that you could just walk on it. And they've been trying to clean it up for the last, 50, 60. They had to move all the black people out that area. But look at Bubbly Creek. I think it's an all-white area, upscale area now. But it was only like that because they contaminated prime real estate.
That sound like Bridgeport, Eddie. Because those meatpacking houses were around 35th, 39th, from Halsted, all up in that area.
Because all around the meatpacking district in Chicago back then, the black
people were back in the yard.
So they lived in those areas.
That's what it sounds like.
South Fork of Long, South Branch of Chicago River. Boundary between Bridgeport and McKinley Park area.
Yep. That's Daly. That was Daly's old neighborhood.
Oh, yeah.
So now this was all black people. They owned all that stuff over there. And they moved them out. They didn't give them nothing for moving them out. They contaminated that area and made it so bad. The smell was so bad they couldn't even live there. So they just had to just up and leave.
But Thomas, that smell, if you go over there now, you can still smell that smell. It's not as strong as it was in the past. And
yeah,
I remember,
Excuse me, y'all. No, not you. I'm sorry. I'm going to bring in 336.
Okay, Mother Z.
Greetings, family. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can, Mother AZ. Yeah. Greetings.
Greetings. I just want to say thank you, family, for keeping Sister Antoinette on top of her toes and giving her the energy to do what she does, because it is therapy. And I'm just grateful. I'm just listening and just thinking, going back to even when you were out here, Brother Eddie, and being a part of that pepper tree. I'm preparing to have a ceremony in the stronghold with parts of that pepper tree. It'll be on film. And I'm just thinking about everything. And even though I'm still having, my challenges, I want to say thank you, Sister Antoinette, for keeping the platform alive and helping me therapeutic as well. So thank you, family, for giving Sister Antoinette encouragement to keep on rolling with this. And that's all that I wanted to say.
Thank you, Sister Paris. Thank you so much.
I truly appreciate that. For real. All right. I'm just listening. Peace and blessings.
Peace and love. Mother AZ, thank you. Thank you for the sentiment, because it's right back at you with everything that you're going through, because you've been dealing with what you've been dealing with for a minute. So, again, to get this therapy actually transition or moved over towards you too, this energy, it's for you too. So
yes,
you feel
that's right. Yes, it is.
Thank us. I'll mute. Peace.
Peace.
Thank you. Okay, I'm going back on mute too. Okay, y'all.
Yeah, they call it Bubbly Creek because from all the cow carcasses and stuff they would throw down there, it just started bubbling, from the oxygen from that, the decay and stuff, just bubble and bubble and bubble. And they threw so much down there, it just became hard. It was like you could walk right over it, man. But yeah, it was all black people had it. They were suffering from all type of illnesses from that shit. You know what I'm saying? All, man, the history of Chicago, like the first settlers was black. You know what I'm saying? And they created the meat district and all that stuff. It wasn't white people that created that.
Right.
And they did all, well, I should say, the black people did all the labor that created it. You know what I'm saying? I you know, I can't say, you know, they white people didn't tell them or make them do it, but, you know, it was all black people, though, and they settled it. The first, like, 60 people to settle Chicago and name it and everything, they was black people. You know what I'm saying? And of course, anytime we start building something, here they come. And the area that they built, that was the black part of town, that's the area that became the meat district. That's exactly where they went to because it was already developed, because we developed it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, but yeah, but look that up, man. It's, I forget the name of the book. I be reading so much stuff, man. But it was talking about this, but I never forgot it. Bubbly Creek, like damn, they even named it Bubbly Creek. That's fun. Like damn, that's low, man. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, man.
Good info. Cause that's something that name I had never heard of. So. Yeah, I'm going to look that up. But again, that whole area that you're talking about, I worked in that area. and in several jobs I worked there, but I worked there for almost a decade and a half. So, yeah, I know that area. I've been past that area. And it basically stems all the way from 35th to Pershing and from Halsted, all the way to Ashland, you know. So that whole little square.
And Thomas is talking about the Racing Avenue pump station. That's what that is.
Okay. So, yeah, right there in that pumping station. Yeah, so, yeah, now I can see it. Well, they called it that. So, yeah.
Even in New York, like everyone in the world probably heard of Greenwich Village. That was all black, you know what I'm saying? And the Irish people had a riot, and they went and burnt down our stuff, you know, kicked us, you know, not burnt it down, but they looted our, because we had more money than them, you know what I'm saying? And they looted all that area and kept doing it to the point that we got moved out. But all the Greenwich Village, you could go over there and see houses that black people built from the hands to this day, the brownstones and stuff. And this stuff is worth trillions, like not even billions. Like if you own property there, you already know you upper, you know what I'm saying? This is where all the clubs are, eateries, like just your rent for the restaurant downstairs is $25,000 a month. Easy. You know what I'm saying? Like it's all ours, bro, and it's cooking from us. It's like, you know, everywhere you go.
But you know what, Thomas, that's interesting you said it, because now flipping it back, there was a neighborhood on the other side of Bridgeport over east, if you go over the expressway, called Bronzeville. And it was the same exact thing what you just said about the neighborhood you was talking about. That was all black at one point. Now it's all white and Asian that came over. And like all up and down King Drive and by the lakefront, it was all brownstones and mansions and everything. And all just about all the black people that left now from over there. They can't afford to live over there anymore. And white people that came in and bought up all the property. Matter of fact, that area over there at one point, part of it, when they was talking about bringing Olympics here, part of that area was designated for that. And then, like, they tore down a lot of the projects and stuff over there and built all these brand-new million-dollar, $1,000 townhouses and condos, and then nobody moved in them for a while. But white people eventually moved back over there. Well, moved over there, but it was all black at one point. Not anymore.
Yeah, I'm familiar with Bronx. That was like the Chicago's version of Harlem at one point.
Yes,
all
sir.
Renaissance people.
The Renaissance era. That's what, that's the Bronzeville with the Renaissance. Everybody came, and all of our black musicians and stuff, yeah. It started right there in Bronzeville.
When you look at every major city, from New York to Chicago, L.A., same thing in Watts right now, gentrifying, you know, Harlem, Watts, Bed-Stuy Stuyvesant, Brooklyn, gentrifying it, you know what I'm saying? Everywhere that we, you know, built a stronghold, here they come to take it from us again. And it's not only just white people coming to take it, but sometimes you see an all-black area and it just becomes a bunch of Latino people moving there. You know, all of a sudden, you don't see no more black people live around there. It's all they're new working class people that, you know, that do their dirty work for them. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I'm familiar with Bronzeville. I can't believe that it's that bad, though. You know, because there's still a lot of black people still in Harlem, even though they're making it unaffordable. And, you know, man.
Because, like, with Bronzeville at one point, a lot of the black professionals that moved over there, like a lot of all the teachers and professors and lawyers and stuff like that. But then it's like there's a what's the name of that school, Eddie, down there on 35th and State? Is it IIT? Yeah, IIT is down in that area, and now it's all Chinese and Asian people that moved over there now.
Excuse me, y'all. Can y'all hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I'm bringing area code 405. Erica 405.
Peace. Peace and love, family.
What's happening, brother Mel?
Everybody. Peace. Sister Antoinette, I'm still working on that. That's why I haven't gotten back to you. But,
okay.
Yeah, I got you. And I was just asking the
Thank
family,
you.
Like, what's up, T? Brother Derek? Peace, big bro Eddie. The numbers. Like, you know, y'all numbers guys. So I have never, ever really believed in the fact that we 12% of this population. I don't believe that at all. I think it's so skewed. And when I do travel from state to state and I see neighborhoods that I haven't seen in, you know, 8-10 years, and I see how they're being gentrified. It's not just one state, your state. It's, man, it's happening everywhere. And I'm wondering where these people coming from and where are we going? Like, I mean, but I just never believed in the fact that we some type of minority that's only 12% of the population. I just don't believe that. And I just wanted to know how, I mean, do we just believe them or, like, we can't quantify it, but damn. 12%
For me, I quantify because I never really got heard the 12. I always heard we were 13% of America's population. And again, as soon as I'm into numbers, when I saw that 13, I'm like, okay, that's why. Because didn't they so-called free us with the same 13, called the 13 goddamn amendment, but 13? See, why does 13 keep coming up? 13, come on, you're saying it now. That's who we are, but they took our number using different words, and we never saw our number, that 13%. 13 has a big, powerful number. That's God. But that's why they use it in every USA. It's 13, FBI, 13. I can go on and on. American comes to 22, which is 4. Everything about this country, they use the number, and we don't see the number in the words we use, even in the United States of America. And God bless the United States of America. Is that just words, or are those incantations that we really just let it go by? We hear it, and we don't hear it. And this shit is something else.
I hear exactly what you're saying. I hear where you're coming from. I wanted to get the family, get you and the family's opinion on if you believe that number to be anywhere close to the truth.
Well, I just believe in the number being the truth.
Much greater?
I believe that they're telling us who we are. They're not. They just gave us a story. Story is 22. It's still the 4. 13 is 4. They never gave us a story. So this is what we're doing now. We're breaking the story down. Yeah, we only 13 by the number, not by what they give us. That's the nonsense for us to get into that story, but to see the number of what they keep revealing. 13 this, 13 that. Why is Earth the third planet from the sun? One sun's third planet.
What's their affection with 13? Like the 13
that's
eagles,
God. That's,
the arrows
that's true.
That the eagles that's, holding on the dollar?
Like I said, yeah.
Stars, 13 is a lot.
13, like I said, is God by number. That's why they have in God we trust. Trust is 31. God is 13. We say the spirit of God. But ain't a whole bunch of people's spirit on that dollar that they trust in? So, see, all this is getting us into the physical of all the things that even we do and we've done, but we can come out of what we've been put in. That's what we're talking about now, this vibration through conversation helping us out of this bull. But see, like they,
well,
it's always been said, they can't lie to us. It's only a lie because we didn't see the number behind the truth. That's why truth is 31. 13. They keep giving us 31 is truth. We don't even see the truth in the number that they keep putting in front. That's why it's a damn secret. Secret is 31. It ain't no secret, but we don't see it. So it remains
and the
a secret.
Word lie, and the word lies in the word belief. So what does that tell you?
Mm-hmm.
Was it better to believe or is it better to know?
Damn, dude. The red pill or the blue pill? Look, Brother Thomas, I just want to publicly give you your props, man, on that meta nonsense. That metaverse stuff, man. You've been talking about that for a minute, man. And now they rolling it out. And they making it look so appealing. It's just like we're stepping into the future. That metaverse stuff is very scary. And me, you know, I'm anti-computer. I'm anti all of that crap. I feel like, damn, I'm going to be like, remember that movie when Sylvester Stallone and Taco Bell was the only restaurant left? Demolition Man.
Oh, Demolition Man.
Yeah. I feel like I'm going to be one of them ones up underneath the ground, man, eating rats. I'm not doing
right
it.
Quick,
I'm not.
Right quick, Brother Mel, just to take you back real quick to 13, the four. God,
okay.
True. Why is it so powerful? They keep using it, and we still don't see the number that they keep using different words for. You just said, Brother Thomas turned you on to the metaverse. I've been talking about it for the longest. The metaverse still comes to 40. Damn it, 4. God. Artificial is 4.
Damn.
See? Have we really been paying attention? We ain't into the real. Real is 4. They done gave us the artificial to replace the real. Artificial intelligence. Real intelligence.
Damn.
They just keep replacing the number. I mean, the word. The number remains the same. That number of God has power. That's why they keep using it. Just like signs and symbols. They use these same numbers in the signs and symbols because every sign, every symbol has a name. Every name has a number.
But when it comes down to intelligence, there could only be divine intelligence, like natural. I would like to know the what's natural? Not
natural,
even divine. Natural.
Natural comes to 23, which is the 5. I got 5 on it.
5. Bad.
Nature
bad.
Comes to 25, which is the 7. 7
natural
is 25,
is
which is called the divine. It's no. Divine nature. That's in your consciousness. That's knowing yourself. But if you
that
don't know yourself,
always...
you don't know nature, you don't know consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's related in the conversations that we even have right with each other. For me, I attach to the number right away, and I know how conscious you are. I'm not going to spit, sputter, and stutter, but I ain't going to sit there and trip no more because it ain't worth it. Like Thomas said, the youth, that's the key. But the elders are also the key. We who truly understand and know more, in the, it's called the infinity that they gave us with the meta. We're the true infinity. It's called a present. We are the damn present, y'all, right here in the infinity. That can go to the past, which are the elders, who we talk to already, who we know, that can vibrate on these levels, and we're able to transition to the future, which are the children, which are the youth. New school, if they want to be called that. It's still 31. New school. I ain't give it that name. Who gave it that name? And why did it have that number? Old school, 29. Communication, universe. See, it all adds up. But we're breaking it down our own ways, our own time, our own angles through the conversations that we have that activate and motivate, improve and encourage one another. That's what we're doing. Man, I'm sorry, Brother Mel, did I interrupt your flow?
But,
of course not.
The crazy thing
I'm
is,
sitting here listening.
13% is 40 million people. And you're back to the four again. But you got to look at it this way, right? They said, what, we aborted 26 million kids? So that would have been 66 million people, which would have gave us like 20% of the population. You know what I'm saying? I think that the Mexicans is up to like 20% now. 60-some million, well, not Mex, but, you know, you had the Mexicans with the Dominicans, the Puerto Ricans, the Cubans. They come up to 60-something million. So, yeah, we lagging. We in third place, man. And I don't think that white people would lie about the populations as much as they try to keep their niggas in check, man.
Why wouldn't they, though? Why wouldn't they make you think that you're minor? Why wouldn't they lie? That's a psyop.
It wouldn't make a difference.
What do you know? No. Let me hold on 1 second. Let me ask everybody right here on the family. Who do you know in your life that knows somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody that ever won the Publishers Clearinghouse Sweepstakes?
Nobody.
We've been seeing that shit on our TV since it was black and white. The Publishers Clearinghouse Sweepstakes. Now, I know some people that hit the lottery, but I don't know nobody there. But we still falling for it.
That's true. You know, I never thought about that. I never thought about that. That is so true.
It's a hustle, man.
So we just
like, I never saw nobody hit Win for Life, man. I never seen nobody hit that Win for Life.
That's Publishers Clearinghouse.
Yeah, I seen them hit all types of them cars, but never that Win for Life, man. And I remember when Win for Life was $20 for that car. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, but yo, I don't think they're gonna lie about the population. That's how they build their prisons, man. That's how they make their money. They make their money off of us, man. They know exactly how many of us is here, man. They ain't going to lie about that. And even if they did, like, if we the majority, look, you got 92% of South Africa is black. Look how they live with a little bit of white people that run that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear you, but I hear
you. You know what I'm saying? So... yeah. You know what I'm saying? Mel Kwan, the chef, man. I heard you the other night on Sister Bev's show. Like, my man, Mel. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. Stressing out about my daughter, but it ain't no different because I remember you was doing the same thing, stressing the twin was 13, 14, and you was tripping. You was like, man, I don't even know her no more. So I'm going through that stage right now. So, yeah, I'm feeling it, but it's going to be okay.
You know, I'll tell you, do what I did, man. I gave up, man. Right,
nah,
you know,
I can't do it. I can't do it.
Nah, man. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes, like, hey, man, you saw the thing with T.I.'s son. And his son got arrested. I think he had gun possession or something. He came back out of jail, man. That's the police and all this stuff. And T.I. gave his little thing. He's like, yo, man, I done whipped him. I done put him on punishment. Ain't nothing else I could do for him, man. He think he got it in his heart. you need to find out the hard way. You know what I'm saying? And pressure bust pipes. So he's going to have to learn the hard way, you know? That's what I agree with, man. Got to learn the hard way sometimes, man.
Yeah, I hear you, but I can't let my baby nowhere away from me. She got to stay close to me.
I'm
making a mistake.
That,
but, yeah.
Yeah,
but yeah, you talking about the little albino looking one?
Yeah,
they all
man.
Look
well,
kind of albino.
Yeah, I was about
they
all look strange, man. They some weird looking.
Yeah,
people.
They some strange looking people, y'all. But okay, to each his own. But I love y'all, man. I'm about to
peace,
move my line and peace and love.
All right, man.
Peace and love, Brother Mel, and I just want to add on to it, yeah, like you're doing, don't give up, don't let go, and use every means you can to just keep that line of communication open. And, again, I always start with music. I can't say numbers because numbers is 9 years old with me, with what I'm doing, but music is key, and you can find the music or lyrics of whatever you're trying to express to show your daughter in music. Take that time just to do that. One thing that came to mind was just use BBD, Bib DeVoe's Poison. That girl is poison. Never trust a big butt in a smile. You don't want her to be that big butt in a smile girl going out there that becomes poison.
That song, that's a pedophile song, man. He's talking. Listen to the rap
but
part of that song.
But again,
you know, underage. You know what I'm saying? Like, what? I'm going to freak her. Like, oh, my God. This would never
but
make it today.
You're using that to teach them what to stay away from. See, because everything, be it good or bad, has a lesson to be learned about. See, but when we only see it one side, we miss that other side of the lesson that we might were supposed to pick up on. Go ahead, Brother Mel, was you about to say something?
No, I was just saying that would be teaching her who not to become.
Correct. Correct. That's what you use
a
negative song
for. A lot of the songs in me and Thomas' generation was definitely pedophilia. You might be young, but you ready. And then even in y'all's generation, the songs.
Oh,
like,
no,
you
not
know,
Keith Sweat.
He swear, even back then, she was 16 years old. And, y'all had some pedophilia going on, too. Not necessarily pedophilia, but.
Age ain't nothing but a number. Throwing down ain't nothing but a thing. Y'all know who that
man.
Is already.
Damn. But, yeah, certain cultures, you know, they give their daughters off at 13. And, you know, as soon as she start mistreating, she that movie, if it's grass in the field, play ball. No, man. We got to stop that, man. My baby ain't ready for that. She could probably physically get pregnant now, but she's not ready for that. She's not developed enough for that. And these children is out here. I can't judge because I don't know about y'all, but when I was young, we did a lot of promiscuous things at a very young age, man. We did. And
so,
apparently, them people out there in the country, granny and grandpa and them was doing the same thing out there, but they just knew how to hide. We didn't know what was going on. Go ahead.
But now, Mel, with technology and everything and peer pressure in front, you got to have your finger somewhere on that trigger, see? Because if we let technology teach them, because, again, you were promiscuous back then, how do you think they little minds with what's being given to them that we didn't get at the age they are?
The majority of the stuff they got, we didn't get or we had to learn. We couldn't go on in the TV. It was censored. So, yeah, it's different times.
It was pull out your little phone book and write the girl's name down in your little black book, and then
that's
call
right.
her at a respectable time because you know her parents might after 9 o'clock you can't call
that
type stuff. But
that don't exist no more, right?
That's
like,
what I
back in my era, you would see a girl, you would walk up to her, you would approach her, you would try to talk to her. You know what I'm saying? In this era. Young boys don't do that no more.
It's digital.
Everything is digital. So you don't have to worry about your daughter going outside and some young boys trying to talk to her. They too shy to do that. They're afraid of rejection, man. They gonna try to find her Facebook or her Instagram and send her a private message or something, you know. So it's totally different these days, man, the way that they work it. So I look at it like a lot of the things that you know, the cat calling and all that stuff, that's toxic masculinity in this generation. That's a no-no. These young boys don't do that. Excuse me, sweetheart. What's your name, sweetheart? None of that. You know, it's you see a bunch of dudes with a bunch of dudes and a bunch of chicks with a bunch of chicks, and they go out in their packs, and they hook up later. You understand? So you got to check the apps. That's what you got to look for on the phone, the apps. But that's how they meet each other on these something for fish, plenty of fish, and all these little type of apps that they lie about their age and meet each other on. That's what they be going on, bro.
And that stuff is unchecked. It could be a little 15-year-old girl on got a plenty of fish account, and it's unchecked. She got her picture. She set up her profile, and she could be dealing with grown men, meeting people. Man, that stuff is horrible, man. It's just different, man. Now it's just crazy and it's shameful. But this is the way they planned it. This is not by. This is by design. This is not accidental. How they doing what they doing, man? And
Digital 31H13. Those numbers of that folk keep coming
digital
back.
Digital age.
I be seeing some bad sisters, bro. Like, oh my God, look at these chicks. They walking down the street. They always in groups, and none of the dudes talk to them. I be like, yo, what's wrong with y'all? Y'all see this? And they like wave their hand like ain't no big deal to them. And I was like, wow, this generation's crazy. They different. Because they don't even, like, you know, that would never happen in my day. Like, you would have been seeing them coming, like, a block away. Like, oh, look at this. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, man, these
kids. Hey, Thomas, every woman I dated, I met them at job and met them at school. And that, like I said, I'm 52, but then it's just like what you were saying with this younger generation now. I've had women tell me it's like a lot of them are frustrated because they said a lot of these guys, these young boys, they're immature and they don't know how to talk. They don't know how to communicate, you know?
Well,
and it's just like back in the day, library, school, the gym. You know, but now
church.
It's like no, church, right? Exactly. Well, I got stories, but I ain't gonna put that on the radio. But yeah, but the communication, what I'm trying to say is, but the communication pieces is
personal.
All but gone now.
Yeah. So that's why I think conflict resolution is gone as well, because it's all emotional driven. These little cats are sitting in their house. On their phones and their computers, when they get out and a conflict happens, they don't know how to resolve it. There's no pride.
They don't know how to
manhood.
Deal with it, right.
Yeah, so it just turns into basically these guys are scared of each other. So, I mean, hell, if I got a gun, I'm going to shoot first. But I have a confession, though. I have a confession. I want to tell the truth moment, and I'm not ashamed of myself. That's why I'm telling you. I'm watching one of those judge shows the other day, right? And I come downstairs and I look the TV on and I'm looking at the judge show and it's this fine ass sister, man. And I'm like, damn, that's a fine motherfucker there. Ooh, excuse my language. I'm sorry, sister. I'm sorry. But that's what I said.
No, you're not.
And then, I'm sorry. But, and then, so I turned it up a little bit and listened. And the dude, it was a man and a wife. And the dude was like, ever since she got the sex change, she just changed. I was like, ah, no, no. It was a man. It was a man.
And you was like, man, before you.
Hey, that was a fine ass nigga.
Hey, check the Adam's apple on them ankles, I'm telling you.
Man, that's crazy.
In my generation,
that's crazy. That's transhuman. That's, to me, that's transhumanism. Jesus Christ. But so I ain't ashamed of it. I mean, damn, the dude was fine. But yeah, I was like, damn, this the world we living in now? Like, you can't tell? You can't tell from just looking. That's crazy. So now you can't say faggot. You can't say him, her, female. You got to give all these different, they changing all the terms, what we can say and what we
what
can't.
What are your pronouns?
Let's look at this real quick. LGBTQ. Non-gender. Sex neutral. They deal
non-binary.
With their emblem is called the rainbow flag. Rainbow. Rainbow is two. They want a certain group of people, two people or two, to become transhumanism. Transhumanism is 47, which is two. That's where the transhuman is starting from. The rainbow people, LGBT. What are we talking about? Who's taking over? You're right. That's the beginning of the transhumanism. Non-gender. Don't know if they male or female. You can't even distinguish. That's a fine looking so-and-so. Oh, that was a dude, but it's still fine. See, transhumanism.
Nah, I wasn't saying it like that. Once I figured it out, all of that was gone. Don't make it like that. Hold up. Once I heard that, all of that was gone.
Okay,
so you know what the bell, is that what you're coming because of the bell beat?
Yeah. That's been on for hours. It just came on a couple of minutes ago.
Okay, maybe that cut it off, but it's not coming from mine. It's coming from... is she okay?
Yeah, she's okay. She's just sleepy. She got the BiPAP on. Reading machine.
Oh, yeah, she's definitely...
What'd you say, brother male? Oops.
That reminds me of when I worked at the hospital. Yeah, man.
Yeah, I can see you all you want. Boy, you would have fell for it too.
I never slept better with those machines.
Brother Mel, don't be ashamed because, again, those of us who look at that and see that, we a lot of people are fooled before they recognize and realize themselves.
I was ashamed that brother did that to himself. That's what I was ashamed. I was ashamed for him. Not
why?
Me. He fooled me though. Because why would he yo?
He doing what? Guess what? He fooled you, so he doing what he wanted to do.
But that's unnatural. That's
There you go. So again, when we rolling with nature and order, and those things are unnatural, that's how we even explain ourselves without pulling anybody's coattail and making them mad. Do you agree or disagree? Am I right or wrong? Are you in order? Is it natural? Bam. What they got to fight you
order
with?
Order out of chaos.
There you go. You on the side of order, not chaos. They bringing the chaos with the shit they, excuse me, with what they doing to themselves. So
right.
You ain't got time for it, bro.
Can y'all hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Hello?
Go ahead.
This was the problem when we accepted the BBL surgeries as normal. So now we got these chicks with these abnormally big hips and ass, no waist, no stomach, you know, big breasts. So now, you know, this becomes normal to us, right? We looking at this like, oh, look at her, you know. Now you put a dude, he go get that same surgery. You know what I'm saying? So now you're looking at the butt in the body, right? It's all a psychological game. And that's how they're going to get people, man. So that just accepting the surgery from the females was the start of it. You know, and when Mel was saying that the people, the kids today are emotional, that's because they all come from single mother households, man. You know, that's how their mother handles things and emotion. They ain't never seen a man handle things, so that's how they react to everything in the world. Very feminine, ready to fight at it on the ground because where a female would cry, they ready to fight because they a boy. You know, they got testosterone, so they ready to throw hands where their mother would stop and cry at. You know what I'm saying? So you got to watch them because they're very emotional, man. Listen to their music. Even their rap is emotional. It's all in emotion. Now, don't even rhyme. It's just they trying to rhyme the feelings, merge all these different feelings together. You know what I'm saying? Very emotional generation.
Yep. Hey, Brother Mel, you still with us?
Yes, sir. I totally agree with what you just said, Thomas. But yeah, I'm here.
Brother Mel, that song is for you. Looking at that judge show.
That nah, girl, don't do me boy. Like that.
That girl is poison.
You see, that's what I'm saying. All right, bet. That's okay. Don't ever ask y'all don't ever ask me to share my truth again. I said truth moment. That's supposed to be not held against me.
You. I'm giving you a little levity with the truth. That's all, bro.
That
why you start laughing before I start laughing.
That girl's a boy. Hey, that joke was fine. But, I mean, damn, like, it just really traumatized me. Like, damn, man, like, I by no means, I know this is a family show, so I'm not going to be vulgar, but I'm going to do my best to orate what I'm trying to get out. When I get into an intimate situation with a, damn, you almost got to nowadays say a suspected female. I definitely do a physical investigation before.
If you out there, you better. You better.
Hey, man, I do a thorough investigation because you never know out here, man. And that just solidified my addiction to make sure I do due diligence. Baby pictures and all. I'm going to leave y'all alone, man. Y'all tripping, man. Good night. I love y'all. Peace and love.
Love you too, Brother Mel.
Peace and love.
Okay, did anybody have anything else?
Nope.
It takes time for the hour. Almost 11 o'clock. That's great. You know, so a lot's been said, a lot's been given, a lot's been received. So for me, I appreciate the family. And most of all, Sister Antoinette, get well, get healthy, get strong, and get out. Get out. And by the way, Brother Derek, get out comes to 34, which is 7.
Yes, sir.
All right, family, with that, peace and love until the next class. Love you and continue your journey, Sister Antoinette. Do you have anything in closing?
Yes. Am I? Oh boy.
So
can you
hear
me?
Busy, dude.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
We are must be given, but the key that we defend was just a
I'm